Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians right along the Southern California coast. Together, we seek to grow in our individual spirituality and in connected community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. For more information, visit our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Today's reading comes from Proverbs 1:20 through 33. Wisdom cries out in the streets. In the square, she raises her voice. At the busiest corner, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? Give heed to my reproof. I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused, have stretched out my hand and no one heeded, and because you have all ignored my counsel and have none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when panic strikes you. When panic strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be sated by their own devices. For waywardness kills the simple, and complacency of fools destroys them. But who listens to me will be secure and will live at ease with out dread of disaster. For the word of God, for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Life is not just a series of destinations, but a journey of discovery. Along the way, we are guided by signs, markers of wisdom, that invite us to pause, to reflect, to grow. Wisdom is not found in a single answer, but in the questions we ask, the roads we take, and the moments of stillness in between. As we navigate this path, we are reminded it's not about where we're going, but who we become along the way.
Maybe aging me a bit. I learned to drive in the mid to late 1980s. Don't do the math on how long ago that was. The first car I drove was my mom's car. We still had it, even though she died several years earlier. She drove a yellow Dodge Reliant K, her K car. She had a personalized license plate on it. Said Kitty's K. She went by the nickname Kitty. Kitty's K is what it said. And that's the car that I drove most often. Like, we also had a big 15-passenger van. That's not the car you want a teenager to learn to drive in. You drove in a big 15-passenger van. That's what you learned to drive in. God bless you, and especially your parents. I did not achieve that level of trust, clearly. So I learned to drive in this little station wagon. Now, it was a station wagon that still had the crank windows, had manual door locks. My dad did something unusual for the time. I don't know how much money he spent on it, but he's always been pretty technical. He bought this little computer, this little black thing that he mounted to the dash inside that connected, however it connected, where you could set a cruise control on it. What? Cruise control? It would help out with mileage and things like that. That's pretty cool. But this was generally the car that I drove. Now, learning to drive in the mid to late 1980s was, in my mind, a little different than driving now, simply because the way cars were built was a little different. In my opinion, cars these days are fairly reliable. I mean, listen, we can have all kinds of conversations about how many computers there are in them. But in terms of the mechanics, they're pretty reliable. But I learned some things in the mid to late 80s when I was learning to drive. I learned some really practical things from my dad. One of the things that I learned to my dad that came back to my mind recently is when you're driving and you're keeping an eye on the temperature gauge, you should watch all your gauges. If you see that temperature gauge go up, boy, you better turn off the air conditioner. In fact, don't just turn off the air conditioner, crank the heater. Because, yeah, I see some of you nodding your heads. Because when you crank the heater, it helps pull some of that heat off the engine. I mean, it blasts it right in your face or on your feet, but that's better than it sitting in the engine, isn't it? I see that. Can you just tell me how many of you learned a similar thing? Yeah, a lot of us did. The reason I tell this story is because this came up recently. Kimmy's car, 2010. She was driving it in to work. You know, she works for 911. She's in a training for a couple of weeks, so she's over in Kearney Mesa. And she pulls into this parking lot where the training is, and a whole bunch of things light up. And she's not sure what's going on. She's close enough to a parking spot that she just pulls in and she goes to her training. And on the way, of course, she texts me, "Bob, you need to come and deal with my car." Of course, I'm going to come. And so I come and I get in the car. Bob Wirtz made a recommendation for a great mechanic. The guy was only about 6 miles away from where the car was. So I figure, I think I can get it to limp along to 6 miles. And so I get in the car and I start to pull out of the parking lot and I see the temperature gauge shoot up. And so I blast the heater. And for that 6 miles, the heater was on. The windows were down, and I stopped 3 or 4 times for about 20 or 30 minutes each to let the engine cool down. I finally got the car there, and it turns out that the radiator cracked. That's not good news, and that's why the temperature gauge was going up. It's possible that I saved the head gasket with driving the way I did. But you can't test that until you fix the radiator. The rest of that is a story for another time. But it was a moment of joyful recollection that in that moment, like, I remembered that wisdom that my dad had given me. And I wonder if you've had an experience where a circumstance shows up and you remember that nugget of wisdom. And it might be something that can sort of apply directly the way this worked out for me in this case. It might be sort of a general way to approach something. But those nuggets of wisdom, when they show up, when we connect with them, when we are open to those moments of inspiration, can be like really essential for us. Now, we've been going through this sermon series and talking about uncommon wisdom, learning from, you know, our wisdom literature, reading, as I said earlier, these texts that maybe we don't read quite as often, seeking that sense of uncommon wisdom. You may remember that the first week we talked about the time of singing has come. And we talked about the importance of relationship and care and love, whether we figure that as a romantic kind of love or some other kind of love, the importance of that connection in those relationships. And then last week we explored choosing how we should live. That's, you know, last week we delved into Proverbs. And we heard the story of Florence Nightingale and how some small decisions had a profound rippling effect, and how perhaps part of what we could read from that section of Proverbs might lead us to remember the importance of those small decisions and how we might choose those wise and small decisions day by day, in every moment. Now, this week, we go back a couple of chapters in Proverbs. We go back to Proverbs 1, and we hear the voice of Lady Wisdom, It's interesting, much of Proverbs, there are several times throughout Proverbs that wisdom is personified as a woman. Now, we're going to talk about women in leadership next week, rightly so, and this is the first instance in Proverbs where wisdom is personified in this way. And you may remember from the text that wisdom cries out in the streets. In the squares, she raises her voice. And I think about moments of inspiration and wisdom. And part of what I think about with this text, as wisdom cries out in the public spaces, I think of the founder of Methodism, John Wesley, who thought that preaching outside was a terrible thing. Until, as he wrote in his journal, my favorite John Wesley quote, "At 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I submitted to be more vile." And that's when he preached outside for the first time. And one might wonder if Wesley was informed by this text. In fact, my New Revised Standard Version Wesley Bible says this about it. "Woman wisdom sets a good example for Wesley in her habit of preaching in the open air. Wisdom cries out on the street, in the squares she raises her voice. On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand beside the gates in front of the town. And her message exhorts listeners to make a choice, to make a change of life from folly to wisdom. So Wesley left the sanctuaries of the Church of England to stand by the miners' paths near Bristol and preached a message of repentance and salvation to those who lived lives of misery and gin-induced oblivion." Lady Wisdom calls out to us, cries out to us in the public spaces, in the everyday spaces, day by day. Wisdom calls out to us. The passage particularly warns us about ignoring wisdom. And there are a number of ways that this takes place, and it feels to me, as I have read the text, that that's sort of, in some ways, the focus. Don't ignore this. There's good wisdom out there. It's important. Now, the story I told was wisdom that came from my past, and as I said, sometimes that wisdom that can show up for us can be something that really directly connects this historic or personal memory that might show up for us, but sometimes it's a way of approaching something, a way of thinking of something. And I bring that up partly because sometimes wisdom can include opening our mind and our heart to trying something in a new way. Sometimes wisdom can include the idea of not being tied to what was. That's not always easy. Lady Wisdom encourages us to seek and listen for that wisdom and reminds us of the dangers of not doing so. Kathleen O'Connor is the professor emerita of Columbia School, a theological seminary, and she writes this. She writes, "Wisdom invites us to a life of harmonious balance in the midst of daily life." And United Methodist Bishop Kenneth Carter writes, "Listening in the Proverbs is always linked to obedience, and obedience is participation in the practices that lead to wisdom." Bishop Carter suggests that wisdom is relational, calling us to live in harmony. Reminds us, is this any better? Good, reminds us. Listen, friends, I don't always work from an outline. Bishop Carter reminds us that wisdom is relational, calling us to live in harmony with God and with others. Now, I would suggest that sometimes culturally we experience a resistance to wisdom. Sometimes we would prefer knowledge. Influence, hearing the right things from the right people at the right time. Sometimes we don't open our hearts and our ears to the wisdom that can come from unexpected places. Sometimes we don't remember to listen for that uncommon wisdom. And yet Lady Wisdom reminds us of the difficulties of not paying attention to the wisdom in whatever forms it presents itself. I wonder if you remember just last week the incredible wisdom that came from Max sitting here on these stairs. It was a beautiful moment. Bob pointed out that we didn't even need the sermon anymore. And you were right. I mean, I still gave the sermon. You're getting crazy. What a beautiful moment. And sometimes, my friends, I confess that we won't allow ourselves to hear that wisdom. It's unexpected. It's uncommon. It's not uncommon from Max, by the way. He seems brilliant. Is there a danger of not listening to that kind of wisdom? According to Lady Wisdom, according to the first chapter of Proverbs, yes, indeed there is. But listening to that kind of wisdom must be a day-by-day activity. And we must remember that listening to those moments of wisdom, those moments of inspiration, can bring about small, significant moments and can also bring significant world-changing moments. For me, just remembering, hey, crank the heater, was an important moment. Like, if nothing else, the engine didn't completely seize. But in those larger moments, we might think back to last week's story of Florence Nightingale. We might think of other moments. Do you remember in 2008 when Bill Gates decided he was no longer going to be CEO of Microsoft? What did he dedicate his life to? Philanthropy. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation does incredible work in the world. Listening to wisdom can sometimes have a great effect on your day and how your day goes, and sometimes it can have an incredible effect on the world. And we are reminded of the importance of paying attention to uncommon wisdom and common wisdom, but paying attention to wisdom in every moment of our lives, day by day. I would invite you to consider that part of what we must do then is live a life of listening. Live a spiritual life of listening. And you've heard me say this before in terms of, you know, when we pray, right, our prayer can't only be our wish list to God. What if every prayer included a moment where we were silent and listened? Friends, what if every conversation we approached with an intention for part of that conversation to be quiet and to listen? In a world that so often feels divided, there's one side and another side, what would happen if every side took some time to be quiet and to listen? How would our relationships in small ways change? How would our connections in these relational moments change? And if we could inspire such listening each and every day by day, could something even more profound happen as we, as a spiritual practice, choose to listen? To listen for that still small voice, to be open to that strange warming of our hearts as we open ourselves to wisdom and how it can make one small circumstance better how it can make a profound change in the lives of many and everything in between. I invite you, my friends, to consider how this choosing to listen for wisdom can make important changes for you and for many. Amen.